Good morning, this is Kemp Haar, and you're listening to FloorDaily.net. This morning I have with us John Wells, who is president of Interface Americas. John, how you doing?
Kemp, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad you could be with us today. I wanted to talk to you today because just yesterday we ran the story on the whole care and their performance. And, you know, their performance was flat, which is, you know, okay, but given the fact that the market's way down and understandable, but that's not the story at Interface Floor, is it? I mean, your numbers, your recycling numbers, the amount of material that you're taking offline and bringing back and putting back into carpet has actually grown tremendously in 2008, hadn't it?
Yes, Kemp. 2008 was our largest year, and we've been recycling carpet or reclaiming carpet to be recycled for over 15 years, and we had our largest year in 2008. Over 40 million pounds of material was reclaimed and reprocessed through our reentry program.
Now, how of that 43, that's a big number, 43 million pounds, because I think the whole care number for last year was somewhere around 293 million or something like that. So, I mean, you're doing 43 million pounds of that, and how much of that's going back into carpet?
Well, we have several primary waste streams that result from that reclaimed carpet. The two that go back into our products are comprised of the carpet tile backing. We take old carpet tile, we put them through a process called agglomeration, which takes the material and breaks it down in a very low energy way into pellets. And then we developed a backing line a number of years ago called Cool Blue that actually forms a carpet tile backing and laminates it to the product. That is one of our streams, and all of that material that we bring back, the vinyl back carpet tile material, is reclaimed and it goes straight into this process. The other stream that we use is the nylon waste streams, or that result from the face of the carpet. And this could be broadloom carpet, could be carpet tile, and we take those, both nylon 6 or nylon 6-6. And I guess as a sidebar I would put in there is if you're in the recycling business, as we've learned after doing this for a long time, that you can't really pick and choose what you want. You need to be able to have a system that can truly collect, whether it's nylon 6 or nylon 6-6, broadloom or carpet tile, because that really, as a practical matter, represents what's out there on the floor. So we're able to separate those nylon streams, and we're able to take that fluff and reintroduce it to our converters, and they're able to put it back into the extrusion process, and then we reintroduce those into our products. Now, beyond those two streams, the backing and the nylon face, of course, there are other things that result from these processes. And we have built, over the last few years, a pretty sizable supply chain into the engineered plastics industry, in particular the automotive industry. And so they become the user of some of these materials that may have a little higher level of contamination, maybe dirtier. They aren't clean enough to reintroduce them into straight back into our processes. So we have a multifaceted number of waste streams that go in different areas.
So you basically, it sounds like you have three. You have the whole backing system and the Cool Blue, where you can grind that material up and put it back in and make new backing for carpet out of it. Then you have the face yarn that you shave off all of the areas of the face yarns, and you're able to put that into your reentry program, which goes back to, I guess, primarily Universal, maybe some others, but where they're able to turn that 6-6 back into 6-6 in different color ranges and produce, I guess, nylon face fiber with the properties that are at least as good as virgin material. And then whatever's the number three would be the filler, and then you have found
polypropylene from broadloom carpet backings. Yes.
Okay, filler and polypropylene, and you have found downstream or downcycle applications for that, which goes probably more into blow mold plastics, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
All right. And how does 43 million pounds relate? I mean, I think that's actually a pretty big growth, even from 2007. Isn't that up?
Right. In 2007, from 2007 to 2008, the end of 2007 to 2008 was 43 million pounds. The prior year was 29 million pounds, and the prior year to that was 18 million pounds. So we've had steady growth, and a lot of that represents the demand, clearly, that we're creating, because I think maybe one of the most important aspects of this, Kemp, is the fact that we have over 65 running line on the shelf commercial carpet products, carpet tile products, that contain as much as 32% post-consumer content available to buy today. And so we have created demand, which I think is a real important aspect of this. We created demand on the market side so that our customers can participate with us today, and the more they specify, the more they buy, then it creates the opportunity for us to need the old raw materials, the old carpet, into our system. And I think that's how the whole, that's how you optimize the entire system here.
So the reason, to explain why it is that you're able to grow while we look at the industry-wide number, the CARE number, which is flat.
Well, it's probably a good piece of what I just said. Number one, it's been in a part of Interface's Mission Zero vision from the beginning. As you have covered for us so well in the past, you know that Ray Anderson in the mid-90s and then our company in general adopted a seven-front strategy, and one of the fronts was closed-loop recycling, a vision that by 2020 our raw materials would come from closed-loop, technical-loop materials or renewable materials. And so it has been part of our strategy for a long time. So when we look at the system, we don't look at it as just recycling. We look at it as a total system. And so we are designing products. We made a commitment to this. We're going to design our products with as much post-consumer carpet content as possible. And I think that post-consumer carpet content is very important. We believe that the closed-loop material management system is the way to keep these molecules in a closed loop, old carpet to new carpet. So by our product development group being focused on this and our whole business model being focused on this, we've been able to create a large number of products, 65 and growing every day, available to the marketplace. So that naturally creates demand for these raw materials. We've created and made a business model, if you will, that's dependent upon now those old molecules, if you will, becoming the new raw materials for our products.
Are you running into any issues around getting the materials back from, you know, once they're used, getting them back? I mean, haven't you built a whole network around getting these products back to where you can turn them back into carpet?
Yeah, we do. We use a lot of the great partners that we have in the CARE program. There's a lot of large end-use customers in the world and in the U.S. that allow us on a per-project basis to take their old carpet and reinstall new carpet for them using that old carpet. And that's probably the cleanest way that we do it. But we have a lot of different collection points around the country. And, you know, this has been a great learning, I know, for probably a lot of us that have been in this for a number of years. You learn what recycles best. You learn the waste streams that are the most valuable. You learn so much about this. And one of the things that we've learned, sort of as a sidebar here, is that when carpet is glued very permanently or almost permanently to the floor, whether it's broadloom or carpet tile, it's difficult to get it up off the floor in such a way that it can be reprocessed. And I think that's one of the critical things that we've learned, and that's influenced our design by forcing us and creating an opportunity for us to truly create glueless carpet installation. I think that's one of the additional aspects of our tactile system, mm-hmm, that allows our carpet tile products to install without glue. What we found is that really enhances the ability to recapture and thus recycle those carpet tiles later. So that's an example of some of the learning that goes on over time, and we hope over time that designers, architects, specifiers, and users will understand that when they're specifying a carpet, you want it to be beautiful. You want it to perform. so that it's as beautiful several years down the road as it is when the day it goes in. But you also are going to be mindful that I need to specify something that can be reclaimed, and reclaimed in a way that can be recycled, and so that it can go into this closed loop. And I think that we're on the front end of that learning right now, but I'm excited about the possibilities that that brings.
Well, actually, too, with this tactile invention that you guys have come up with, people are able to actually pull the floor up and use it somewhere else if they want to.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. For those of you who don't understand that it's basically a big round dot that's got some very strong adhesive on it, and you put it in the corner between four tiles, and basically the floor floats over the subfloor and just sticks to itself. So
that's exactly right, Kemp. And one of the things that, you know, as the modular category, the carpet tile category has grown, you know, one of the primary reasons that, well, actually our company in Europe, Puga, invented it, and Ray Anderson brought it to the United States. So one of the reasons that the primary functions it did was it was movable. And if a carpet tile is not movable, then it is truly not modular. And so, you know, over time, as the industry has grown some, there are some installation methods that use a lot of glue, and we have found from our research with our customers and others that this negates one of the primary benefits they bought tile. So we began to look, we sort of took this approach to say, hey, how would nature, we actually took our work with biomimicry and said, how would nature adhere? You know, in nature, what is glue? And what you find is that in nature there's not glue, that in nature there's gravity, and gravity works really well. And so that became the foundation of this invention that we call tactiles, that you described, that actually laterally connects or horizontally connects the tiles to one another in a way that they can be accessed one at a time, but they can also be moved, and there's no direct over-glue situation that happens between the carpet and the floor. So it's been a magnificent invention for the user, but it has also absolutely enabled our recycling on the other end.
Well, I did want to bring light to the fact that you guys had done so well with these recycling numbers, and I appreciate you getting on here with us today. We're about to run out of time. We've been talking to John Wells, who is the president of Interface Americas, which includes Interface Floor and Bentley Prince Street. That's the two entities, isn't it, John?
And Floor, which is our residential consumer carpet tile business.
That's
those three.
Okay. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.